Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Today's Issues. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. And we thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me to co-host the program today is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Your first show of the new year.
2018. I'm back in the saddle, right. Raring to go.
You were off, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
The last part of December.
I had a hard time. This is really weird. I may have a troubling retirement whenever I get to retire. I could not remember what day it was. I was always asking my wife, it's not Saturday,
When you were home?
Yeah, you're home
all
the time.
You got out of the routine?
Yeah. My week is just right. Loaded with signposts. Right. You know, Monday, work, right. Wednesday, church,
Gotcha.
Tuesday and Thursday, usually some hockey at night,
Tuesday doesn't work.
Let me introduce the rest of the panel, including the mocker. The mocker there is Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Walker Wildman. Walker's our Facebook guru.
Good morning. We are... Before you ask, we are live streaming on Facebook.
And I ask?
Usually ask. Okay. And you can watch the show there. So live streaming on our Today's Issues Facebook page. I have also the schedule for today posted there so you can see which guest we have coming up. I'm not going to tell you, so you'll have to go to Today's Issues page to find out. And lastly, all the news stories will be posted there.
And Walker is much more than a Facebook guru.
Is he?
Brings much more to the table than that.
He does.
So.
He does.
I just have one question about the holidays. Okay, we've had a lot of cold weather. I'm sure we'll mention this a little bit here as we go on to the show. But I thought during cold weather, things contract. Isn't that what they taught us in science?
That is
heat expands cold. So that how come
true.
Over the cold Christmas break, I didn't contract? I just wanted why did I expand?
Well, I think you were probably inside warm.
Eating.
And comfy. And
maybe
was
it.
You're knocking back calories.
Wouldn't it be awesome if during cold weather we contracted?
That would be cool.
That'd be great.
That would be cool.
If you go outside and stand in the cold, you will contract.
I tell you what, there's been a great invention in humanity in the last couple, three, 4 years. I don't know when this happened, but I went last night with my wife, Allison, to shop for, I needed some new pants, four or five new pair.
Right.
I got four. Four new pair of pants.
Smartly took your wife.
Yeah, well, I guess things I hate in life, shopping, trying on clothes would
top
be.
Top three?
Yeah, it's right there. It's probably four or five, I would say. I say hate. I don't like to.
It's a first world problem.
I don't like to
still.
Take a bunch of clothes, yeah. Go into the dressing room, off on. How does this look? Come on, yeah. Turn around. Let me see that. I don't know if that
do
would
a little
go with
dance.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to keep Allison. She's there for me.
Right.
But I'm
trying to help.
I'm making it hard on her. So I try not to do that. But
sigh. You sigh a lot when you do that.
Well, no. I want to golf on Saturday. So I don't
You're
do that.
You're enthusiastic. This is fun.
No, I say neutral. I at least say neutral.
Yeah.
I don't.
No comment.
And she is there for me, trying to help me.
Sure.
I should.
Or is she trying
that.
To help herself?
I don't know.
I don't know. The way you look.
But the point is, the great invention that I've discovered is these elastic pants.
Absolutely.
Elastic pants.
Well,
with the
waist.
Oh, the expanding. Yeah, the
expanding waist.
Yes.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Even better invention than that.
Yeah.
The extra half inch you can get on your collar when you button it.
Yes. They're wonderful inventions.
Now, who does that? Well, I don't ever button mine to the top.
Yeah, but like if you have to wear a shirt and tie.
Somebody dies or.
Yeah. And then you find out when you get your suit. Yeah. But it's built in. You have to go to a funeral or wedding haven't been buttoned, tie and stuff. And you go to put it on. You're going, I know. But this has a little button. Has a little slide. And it buttons. Gets you a little half inch.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
They're wonderful. Yeah, they're
awesome.
Wonderful.
Or I could just lose weight and I wouldn't need either one of those, but still.
Who wants to do that, right? That'd ruin your holidays.
Oh,
right?
Man.
Okay, Fred Jackson.
Well,
other than elastic pants
what else is going on in the world?
What else? Well, if you live along the eastern seaboard, and we're now talking northern Florida and up, I heard the phrase this morning, I think, snow hurricane. And somebody also said cyclone.
Bomb cyclones. First bomb I ever heard was this morning during our story meeting.
It is. And what's happening there? There is this meeting of this warm air coming up from the Gulf and, of course, the cold air that everybody's familiar with now coming down from the north, and it's clashing today over in the panhandle of northern Florida. In fact, a stretch, a 10-mile stretch of I-10 across the panhandle around Tallahassee this morning, they had to shut it down because of ice. Now, that's where that's dangerous stuff, folks.
Well, I've often said Floridians.
And let's be clear for those who don't do a lot of traveling, with the exception of the Florida Peninsula, I-10 is generally about as south as you can get.
Yes.
In the continental
running
US.
Across the country.
Right? Yeah.
That's it.
It is. Yeah.
So, and I've said to folks, I'd much rather have snow than freezing rain and ice.
You got that right.
Freezing rain and ice, think power outages, massive power outages.
So this just to. So this storm is starting in Florida.
Right.
And it's going to run up the whole coastline?
The coastline, that's what they're predicting, that it's going to run up the coastline. A little later on in the week, towards the weekend, you're going to have this kind of weather in New York, Washington, D.C., in that area. And as I say, the big problem is going to be is not only on the roads, obviously, but you get power outages with this, lines down.
And now the winds are going to be 70 in some cases, it takes 70 miles an hour is the hurricane. That's a hurricane. That's where a hurricane starts and a tropical storm ends, if you want to look at it in those terms. So we're talking about hurricane force winds, potentially?
Ice, freezing rain.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Thinking about, of course, you guys, Ed grew up in New England. You grew up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And you experienced the kind of cold that they're experiencing in that part of the country right now. I'm thinking that, as tough as these folks are, who grew up in the Midwest or the Northeast and they're used to cold weather, you start having power outages on a massive scale.
Mm-hmm.
People's lives are in danger, true?
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. This is beyond.
People die in some of these kinds of.
Well, there were reports this morning where at least a dozen people have died here in the United States in the last several days because of weather.
Property damage, obviously not as important as the lives
that kind
lost,
of thing.
But
in a lot of the country right now, it's experienced the cold weather. The air is clear. I mean, the sun is shining.
Okay.
So as long as you got power, you're okay, and you can still drive because there isn't snow. The danger with this storm now that's coming up the eastern seaboard is, for instance, in Savannah, coastal city, that hasn't seen measurable snowfall since February 2010, up to 2 inches, 5 centimeters of snow and sleet are being forecast. And the mayor of that city is urging residents stay home and keep off the roads.
Mm-hmm.
That is really good advice, folks, because when you get into these ice and freezing rain issue, I mean, you don't want to be on the roads. The last thing you want is, there was a video the other day, and this I think this was in Texas, where a police officer was, there was a car that had crashed into a guardrail. He was out trying to warn residents or drivers to stay away from that. And you see the videos there, you see this car approaching, and it can't stop.
Right.
The guy's trying to turn away from the patrolman. The patrolman sees the car coming. He tries to get, he slips and falls down, and the wheels of that car just missed him.
Yeah.
This is the kind, and this will be repeated over and over and over
again. Here's what I told my wife, because we've had really cold weather here for Mississippi, where our flagship station is for the network. She said, I'm not going to wear a jacket because we're just going from a warm house to a warm car. You get in a warm car, you go to a warm whatever, store or whatever. And I said, well, listen, okay, that's fine right now. I said, but you can't have that mentality if you have precipitation, because if you go off the road and your car gets stuck and your car, you can't crank it or whatever,
right.
You are now stuck in freezing cold weather.
Right.
right. without a jacket. She said, I don't need a jacket. I'll just go jump right. in, and because she doesn't respect the cold when it's this bad.
You're right, though. You got to think about that.
Yeah,
yeah. When I was living in Western Canada on the prairies there, you were advised, and most people did, had survival kits in their car.
Right.
Mm. You had candles that you kept in the car. You kept a couple of chocolate bars, and you kept blankets. Mm-hmm. In case you get
stranded.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that happens.
It does.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. But you're talking about potentially here massive power outages.
Yes.
It's one thing to have power outages because of a hurricane, and then the next morning it's 70, 80 degrees.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's another thing to have massive power outages, from it sounds like to me, Carolina's north, and you have temperatures, at 5, 10, 15, 20 degrees.
Right,
yeah.
So that's going to be a big story to watch the next couple of days.
Absolutely, and we just need to be praying for these folks because this is not good. As you mentioned, if they lose power and then you have cold temps on top of that, so you have lines brought down by this freezing rain.
Right.
And, I mean, it's miserable for the crews trying to bring this back again. And we should talk to our listeners along the eastern seaboard. We may lose some stations for a while.
I noticed that this is going to hit Georgia right,
yes, sir.
Right now.
Yes, sir.
Because we have a lot of stations, or several stations.
And South Carolina.
In Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina. So, I mean, this could affect our...
Yeah, if you can have... And I know maybe not everyone can afford this or whatever, but if you can have gas logs, gas heat in your house,
yes,
as a backup during the winter, that's the best case scenario, because if your power goes out, you can still heat your home with
the
fireplace.
That's a good point.
Unless it's dependent on a thermostat that runs with an electricity.
Like a furnace.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But if you can have gas logs,
yeah.
you know, then that's a good backup.
But don't bring your propane heater inside.
No.
That's a bad idea right there, isn't it, Walker?
Yeah, because of fumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't.
Don't do that.
Make sure your barbecue tank is filled up right now in case you have to cook on
your
barbecue outside in the back patio. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things you
got
to be
thinking about.
This is stuff
a lot of people down in the South don't think about because this is rare.
Yes.
Right. This is a rare occurrence.
Yeah. That's why we depend on you folks.
You know what's funny? The other day.
That's why we depend on you folks who've moved down here to help us out.
The other day, I was doing something outside for about 5 minutes, and I just went outside in a long sleeve T-shirt and my jeans, and I was doing something, and I think I was picking up some sticks or whatever, and my hands were getting cold.
Yeah.
I mean, they were hurting.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cold,
right.
And I thought, this is why I left New England.
I'm following you down here.
Go to New England in the summer and the early fall, right?
That's right.
But after that, hightail it.
That's right. Back down here. God's country.
Yeah, if anybody tries to sell you on a cruise in New England this time of the year,
come see.
Stay away.
Come see the little ice. The little ice age. You can see it right here on the cruise. Wait a minute. You can't go there because the boat's stuck in the ice in the river. All right, Fred, what's up next, Fred?
Well, that's some good news. FEMA has announced that churches, for instance, in Texas, that were affected by the hurricane there earlier this year, that storm, they're going to now qualify for federal assistance in rebuilding and taking care of damages. Now, there was this was debated for some time, you know, the old separation of church and state. But what has happened, what has helped them in this, is the Trinity Lutheran decision back several months ago.
Yes.
Remember, that was a Christian organization that was excluded from getting, I think it was kind of rubberized material for a playground.
It was funds to purchase this rubber, for safety reasons, this material that was made out of rubber, chopped up or something.
Recycled tires.
Yeah.
So anyway, because of that Supreme Court decision in favor of that organization, churches are going to be allowed to receive disaster relief because of this. So that's
good
news.
That's a no-brainer. I mean, if you're giving out disaster relief to everyone else, but you say not you because you're Christians, you're a church, that's government hostility. People don't understand that the Supreme Court rulings have said you can't favor religion, but you can't be hostile to it either.
Right.
And this would be hostility towards religion. Mm-hmm. if you say everyone else, but not you because you're a religion.
Yeah, but watch out. I've got a feeling there'll be another court challenge on this for some other reason they will try, from Freedom from Religion or one of those groups.
Yeah.
But that on his face this morning is really, really good news. President Trump, boy, he's been busy with Twitter. If anybody thought the new year there's going to be a resolution, we're going to deal away. No, don't even think about that. Tweeting out in this case, once again, he's put out a warning to the Palestinian Authority, and this is what he said, and I'll put this in quotation marks. The Palestinians hundred of millions of dollars a year and get no appreciation or respect for it. All right, what he's saying is that the United States gives the Palestinians, and I think it's around $500 million a year. And so we give these people hundreds of millions of dollars a year and get no appreciation or respect. They don't even want to negotiate a long overdue peace treaty with Israel, end quote. This is what the president tweeted out. So once again, he's warning, and this is in connection with the president's declaration that the United States would recognize Jerusalem as the capital. We will move our embassy there. Palestinians were not happy with that, and they said they basically don't want to talk to the United States anymore when it comes to so-called peace negotiations in the Middle East. And so the president is doubling down and saying, okay, you don't want us involved with that, then we're going to stop the hundreds of millions of dollars that we're sending you. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, kind of went out there ahead of the president's Twitter announcement on this. She was out there yesterday making basically the same thing, is that the United States is no longer going to basically put up with being criticized by people who are getting hundreds of millions of dollars from the United States. Remember yesterday we talked about the warning that president has given Pakistan that we're not going to put up. You're not doing enough to
warn them. He took it away.
Yeah, terrorists. Yeah, $280 some million.
Yeah. In the case of the Palestinian Authority, he's warning them.
He's warning them again.
You know, you do have, that is a, as I mentioned yesterday, we dole out a lot of money around the world to buy access to the leaders of the various countries. Mm-hmm. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, but that's just the way the world works, okay? And that's the way we've operated for a long, long time with the U.S. You could say that's unprincipled. You're buying people off, but I'm just telling you, that's the way the world works.
Yeah.
And there's no denying that. You give people money, it gives you leverage with them. And our leverage, our being the U.S. leverage, is to promote good and to promote peace and to promote security around the world. We America's always been a force for those things, and we should continue to be. Now, in the case of the Palestinian Authority, you know, we do give them. I don't know how much money do we give them.
The figure I saw last week was $500 million.
$500 million
annually. Now, I remember a gentleman that I worked with for years when I traveled to Israel. He was an Arab Christian, but he would have been considered a Palestinian. Arab and Palestinian are interchangeable words to describe the non-Jews and the non-Christians in. Christians, some Christians are Arabs, they are Palestinians, and this gentleman was, I'm talking about here. But he was 70 years old, and I've known him for years and years, and he didn't have a lot of kind words for the Israeli government either.
Yeah.
But he certainly was critical of the Palestinian leadership as well, because he told me, you know, what they did was steal money.
Yeah, Yasser Arafat had a couple $1 billion in the bank, didn't he, when he died?
In Paris.
In the Swiss Swiss bank accounts, too. So what they've done here is the Palestinian leaders over the decades have taken money, including money like this from the U.S., and I'm sure the U.S. just writes them a check, and there's no accountability for how that money's spent.
That's right.
It just goes into the coffers of whoever's leading the country. And in this case, anyway, my point is, this gentleman I'm talking about said, you know what, if the Palestinian leaders like Arafat had taken the money they had been given from people around the world, including the U.S., and built roads and recruited businesses and infrastructure and housing and all kinds of things. You know, they could be a part of the civil, you know, they could be a very progressive people. Mm-hmm. But instead, their leaders take this money and they steal it for their own purposes mm-hmm. while keeping the people stirred up
right.
against the Israelis or against the Jews or whatever. So anyway, that's the situation. Now, this, I never thought I'd see the day when a U.S. president said, let me tell you something, Pakistan, and now the Palestinian Authority, if you're not willing to work with us, we're not sending you a check. Yep. And, you know, that's never been done before as far as I know. Mm-hmm. It took President Trump to play this card.
Well, despite the knowledge that the leadership, like Yasser Arafat and others, are taking the money and putting it on their own bank accounts, but also taking the money from the United States and rewarding the families of suicide bombers.
Yeah.
Naming streets after them, giving the families tens of thousands of dollars that they get from the United States. Yeah. In other words, American taxpayers' dollars were going to reward the families of terrorists who were killing Israeli citizens.
Yeah.
Now, Republican and Democrat presidents have known about this for years. For years.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking. It takes some guts. I got to give it to him for the president to stand up on this one. I think... The fact that the Palestinians are saying they're upset because the U.S. is recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. Mm-hmm. Listen, the Jerusalem's already the home of the government of Israel and has been for I don't know how long. I mean, our hotel's by the Knesset over there. I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah, but it goes to the mentality of the leaders of the Palestinian Authority that despise Israel. What they're upset about is that anybody else would recognize this about Israel because they don't really recognize Israel's right to exist. So,
how do you broker a peace deal?
Well, and that's what President Trump's saying. He said, "Listen, you either want to work out a peace deal with Israel or you don't." If you don't want to work out a peace deal, we're not paying you.
Right.
Well, why should we give you money if you're interested in driving them into the sea?
Right. And it's also naive to act like that we're going to get a peace deal when they explicitly say we're not even coming to the table. It's kind of like working with Iran on the nuclear deal a few years ago. They were shouting, the Ayatollah was shouting death to America. Then the next week he was meeting with John Kerry in Europe.
Yeah.
So which one is it? Death to America or you want to cut a deal? Mm-hmm. So... at least we're picking, at least President Trump is doing what your average person says, and that's either cut a deal with them or quit giving them money.
Yeah. And Pakistan, we cut off their money because I guess the president's saying that they're not doing enough to help us fight the Islamic extremists.
There's too much wink-wink going on in politics.
Right.
Exactly. You know, the Palestinians, we're giving $500 million a year. We are... quote unquote, trying to work out a peace deal, but wink, wink, we all know this is going to go on forever.
Right.
We'll continue to give you money. Mm-hmm. You pretend to like us. And then what happens is we get UN votes like before the last year at the end of 2017, where they all get together and rebuke the U.S. for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. I think we're supposed to be helping these people. We're defending them. And
You think too logically, Ed. how you're thinking. It's how President Trump's thinking.
Yeah.
He's thinking, you know, you may criticize President Trump for some of the things he does and says, but basically he's looking out for the best interest of the U.S.
Right.
And if people are going to use the money that we give them to do things that are against our interest, he's not going to play that game. I didn't know how this worked as far as the money. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that the president alone could control that.
Conducting foreign policy, I guess.
Right? Yeah. We will be back with more in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
The moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, the capital, is the right thing to do, and I applaud our president for doing that. Only 22 years after we made the decision to do it, finally we have a leader with really the courage to do it.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our spiritual heritage tours fill up each year several months in advance, and we've got the dates now for our 2018 trips. There are two tours. There's one to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, and then there's a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, where we'll explore early American history. Now, if you want information on these tours, simply go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. Again, in June and September, you can go on one or you can go on both. They're back to back. We plan them that way. Again, June and September, Washington, D.C., and Williamsburg. For all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com, and I hope to see you on one of our spiritual heritage tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Over the weekend, someone added a message to the Welcome to California signs along Interstate 15. Official sanctuary state, felons, illegals, and MS-13 gang members, welcome. A prank with a measure of truth. California is now officially a sanctuary state, providing refuge to those who live in our country illegally. Thomas Homan is the acting Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director. He says Governor Jerry Brown is putting politics in front of public safety.
California better hold on tight. They're about to see a lot more special agents, a lot more deportation officers in the state of California. If the politicians in California don't want to protect their communities, then ICE will.
The public safety fears are real. In 2015, Kate Steinle was gunned down by an illegal in San Francisco. Her killer had been deported five previous times. He was acquitted of first and second degree murder, but was convicted on a gun charge. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
All right, so we talked about, by the way, welcome back. The program you're listening to is called Today's Issues, and the radio network you're listening to is American Family Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday with this program from 10:05 till 11:30 Central Time. And Walker Wildman over there has got our Facebook page. Are we live streaming? And
we are. We're still live streaming. We have several folks watching the show and commenting.
What's the most intelligent comment you see there from our...
A lot of folks glad to see Ed back.
Are they?
Yep.
Really?
That's intelligent?
Yeah. Robert said, Ed, you still work there? Question mark?
Oh, okay. So
laugh out loud.
That's sarcasm. Who's that?
Ed was raising Ed was raising his fist like, hey, yeah, I'm glad I was missed. And then
I shot him down.
My peoples. But instead, it's all sarcasm. Well, I'm used to that around here.
Yeah. Derek said, there you go. Global warming is causing the freezing temps.
I know. I read that. The global warming scientists are blaming the coal on global warming.
Yeah.
I'm going,
yeah.
This is a Twilight Zone science. That's what this is. Oh, my word. Okay, so we appreciate everybody who watches and comments there on our Today's Issues Facebook page. I also noticed we've got pretty good downloads of our podcast.
Yes.
How do you get that?
You can go to afr.net, and when you visit afr.net, you can click on the podcast link and then find Today's Issues.
What exactly is a podcast, Walker, if you had to define it?
It is...
It's an MP3, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an audio file of a broadcast of a radio.
But
is it
not a pod that is cast out there?
Yeah, it's in a little pod. We'll send it right to your house.
Today, you're supposed to not supposed to ever cast your pods before swine.
Yeah. That's in the Bible.
Yeah,
that's in the Bible.
What version of the Bible do you guys? Right.
The message.
That's not
the
in
message.
The Bible.
Oh, it's the message. Okay.
That was good, Ed. High five. Oh yeah, Ed, going after the message Bible.
That's right.
There.
How about that, Robert? Are you not entertained?
That's why we miss Ed right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Little tip of the hat to Gladiator. Okay. Not that I'm recommending the movie.
I thought that was a good movie. I haven't seen that.
It was a very good movie.
Yeah.
It is graphic. Yeah. If you're squeamish, do not watch
Gladiator. All right. Fred, Tim, Ed, and Walker, and joining us now to bring some civility to this particular segment of the program is Abraham Hamilton III, who is our general counsel here at AFA. He's also host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. Good morning to you, Abe.
Good morning, Tim.
How's the new show going?
It's going well. I'm enjoying it. I think people are starting to get used to it. I had one caller the other day say, "Man, I've only been listening to you for a couple months." And I said, "I've only been on a couple months."
Right.
Well, no, you've been on. When did it start? Last spring, wasn't
August.
It? August. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. August.
Right. It's called the Hamilton Corner. You're on each Monday through Friday afternoons from 5:05 to 6 o'clock. Okay. Abe is a constitutional attorney. You trained under Liberty Counsel or
ADF. I'm a Blackstone fellow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alliance Defending Freedom.
Alliance Defending Freedom.
Which means you did a lot of work with them to get certified, if you will, as a constitutional attorney.
Yeah, they have a program. I don't know how public they want this discussed, but to say that
it's a secret program.
It's
folks, you're about to hear a leak.
Well, the goal is to kind of turn the tide of the legal sphere in America, including from attorneys all the way to the judiciary, to return back to constitutional orthodoxy through a Blackstonian approach. Blackstone is the individual who was the most popular legal scholar from English jurisprudential legacy prior to the American law schools turning to the case law method of legal education.
Yeah, so, you're losing me, Abe.
So let me, to bring it full circle.
I like it, Abe.
Blackstone has Alliance Defending Freedom has a program where they reach out to law students to introduce them to constitutional orthodoxy during law school so that they were carried on through their legal profession.
And this was not Billy Joe Blackstone. William Blackstone.
Billy Joel was a Blackstone before he...
No, I'm making a joke. But William Blackstone, well-known English...
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes celebrities shorten their names.
Yes. Billy. Oh, Billy. I see. Billy. Okay.
So I thought he was Billy Joel Blackstone and just changed it to Billy Joel.
Yeah.
But that's has nothing to do with what y'all
are
talking about.
No. This is a whole different Blackstone.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I was thinking of the country group.
All right, Fred, it's up to you to bring some dignity back to this show here.
Well, actually, it's a nice segue from Abe talking about bringing our judicial system back to a constitution. And there's a couple of things that have come across my desk in the last 24 hours that I said I need to talk to Abe about this. Here's the headline from yesterday afternoon. Obama judge. That was my headline. On a judge appointed by Barack Obama. His name is Jorge Alonso. Obama judge refuses to suspend school transgender policy. All right. A federal judge in Chicago says he won't force a suburban school district to suspend a policy that enables so-called, transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice. Basically, what happened is this goes back to 2016 when 50 parents in that school district sued because they didn't want guys, students, male students, showing up saying, "I feel like a girl today, so I'm going to use the girls' bathroom."
Mm-hmm.
So they sued. But this judge just says in his opinion, his 15-page opinion, that anti-discrimination statutes do extend to students whose gender identity isn't conventional. I'm just wondering if all of this is in the Constitution.
Is that a federal judge?
Yes. Yeah, it is a federal judge. The ruling doesn't technically mean the families have lost the civil case, but it strongly suggests the judge doesn't believe it has merit. And Abe, we've talked about this before. It seems judges today are on the loose. And I mean, they're basically out there saying, you know, here's how I feel about the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about what the law and the Constitution says. I just I don't care what these 50 parents think about this school or how it might endanger the kids. I just think, you know, this whole transgender issue is right up there with homosexuality and their rights. So here's how I feel about it, and this is what I'm going to do to these parents. I'm going to say, I don't care how
somebody
you feel,
stop
parents.
Me.
Yeah. Who's going to stop me?
Yeah. And honestly, the responsible party for the judges run amok, in addition to the judges themselves and the presidents that appoint them, is our Congress, quite frankly. Congress exists to serve as the American people's institute or mechanism for keeping the judiciary in check, but Congress has abdicated that role, quite frankly. And I've said this before, all federal courts other than the United States Supreme Court are what are called Article III courts, which means that they are created by the constitutional authority present in Article III of the Constitution, which means every one of them can be adjusted, changed, gotten rid of, in addition to having individual judges impeached by Congress, but they refuse to do so.
Now let me just kind of sidestep that issue, because that's one of the most important issues that we discuss when it comes to judges. Let me ask you about this case. And Walker, you may have brought this up in our story meeting this morning. I can't remember if it was this story or the other one. But in this particular case, do we want, I'm just asking your opinion, do we want parents going to a federal judge, asking them to overrule the school? Is that kind of what liberals do? You see what I'm saying? This is a school that is unresponsive to the parents. So now this has got nothing to do with the actual issue, the transgender thing, which I think schools are going lunatic over this issue. But
was it a public school?
It's a public school. Mm-hmm. It's a public school. The school's unresponsive to these 50 families who have sued. But is the are the courts really the place we want to go for that kind of thing?
I would say you have to go to the school first, and then to the local school board, and then to the local state legislatures. Those are the ones who govern the local schools. Using the courts, and you're right that it has been attacked, that has been employed by liberals consistently, because it's a home field advantage, so to speak, for them. But the initial presentation, in my opinion, would be to go to the school itself.
Because I'm not sure why a judge has any jurisdiction over what this school is doing, unless it's a constitutional issue. Why do you go to a federal? Now, if you want to make the argument that the school has no authority, you know, over this issue, this is a parental rights issue or something, that seems different. But I'm just wondering why we always, even conservatives, fall into this trap of saying that a federal judge has authority to decide what we're doing in our local school. Now, obviously, the liberals have pushed that ball way down the field. So maybe we're just saying, well, if you're going to play by those rules, we will. But at some point, someone's got to say to a federal judge, you know, in some legal way, you've got no right to tell us what to do in our local school. It's not a constitutional issue.
Yeah, and it makes me curious. I don't know in this particular instance whether or not the parents have exhausted their remedies before the school itself. I mean, talking to the principal, the superintendents, the local school boards, and the local state legislators. I don't know that, but that would be where you should go immediately.
Let me ask you this. So we're talking to Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is a constitutional attorney, and he's the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon on this network, on this station at 5:05. Make sure you check out Abe's show each day, 5:05 Central Time. Two things. One is the president campaigned on bringing change to the judiciary. And that is the main reason Christians voted for candidate Trump and helped put him over the top to be President Trump, is because he said federal judges have run amok, and he wanted to, this could be a big issue for him. And he wanted to appoint, because it's constitutionally, it's the president's right to appoint federal judges, people who, to the bench, who respected the Constitution. And he made that, I remember that in the third debate he had with Hillary Clinton. That was a big deal for him, with President Trump. So He has, I would say, it's much easier to appoint good judges than it is to impeach bad ones.
Yes.
Okay.
That's true.
The impeaching of bad ones almost never happens for many reasons. But we can't, but President Trump can't affect the future of the judiciary by appointing good ones. And from our perspective, he's done a very good job in the year he's been president with regard to the federal judges, including the Supreme Court appointment.
I agree with that 100%. The president has been able to have a record number of appellate court judges confirmed in his first year. You know, we had this log jam for a long part of the first year of President Trump's administration. And then all of a sudden, seems like Mitch McConnell came to the light. And then you have a record number of not only a record number is a remarkable accomplishment, but the quality of the judges is it's amazing, in my opinion. If you would have asked me in 2015 if I thought we'd ever see this number of quality judicial nominees confirmed, I would not have been bullish on that.
Yeah.
But to see that is something that is encouraging to me personally. To see that, hey, when it comes to judicial nominations and confirmations, it's not only the far left wackos who will be confirmed, but there actually are rock ribbed conservative constitutionalist judges who can be nominated and confirmed.
Mm-hmm. One other question I have for you: this is just, what do you think the likelihood is of seeing a another appointment to the Supreme Court by the president in 2018?
2018.
You're gonna have to have Kennedy's been rumored to want to step down.
Yes.
Right. But he hasn't yet.
He hasn't.
And then of course Ginsburg is the oldest one.
Yes.
But she's probably not gonna step down because she knows that President Trump would appoint a conservative to replace her. Yeah. So she's gonna have to graduate to that Supreme Court somewhere else or retire, but she's not going to retire, yeah. I don't think.
Yeah, I doubt Ginsburg, you're going to have to claw her gavel, so to speak, from her cold hands.
Be careful. But those are two.
Those are two.
Kennedy.
Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, I was going to say that, though. But Kennedy has discussed retirement. Ginsburg has not, but Clarence Thomas has also discussed his desire.
I saw him.
To retire.
A month ago. Walker and I sat.
Table from him.
The table over from him. And
his wife is very involved in the conservative movement.
Right.
Jenny Thomas.
I think Clarence Thomas, as far as Clarence Thomas goes, as far as being a, you know, of a good mind, clear-headed, articulate, he's still there.
Oh, yeah.
So some of them, you know, you wonder about because they never speak publicly. And Justice Thomas doesn't much, but and he's probably what, 70?
He's in his
70s. Yeah, he's 78. He'll be 79.
Clarence Thomas is 78?
Yeah.
What age is Ginsburg?
She's mid-80s.
I think it's 83, 84.
Yeah, and I think Breyer is 81.
And Kennedy is in his 80s as well.
What do they talk about during their meetings then?
Well,
we don't want to know that. We don't want to know that. I can only imagine. Huh? I don't think they talk a lot about the court cases. How many great?
My hip.
What are you drinking for that?
Listen, I'm only half kidding because I'm starting to talk like that about those kind of things. So.
You got how many great great grandchildren?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I do think that the president will have an opportunity to nominate another justice. I don't know which one it will be and whether or not it will be 2018. Yep. Is another thing.
And
I'm
don't
not
you
certain.
Think that's a fight that we need to prepare for?
Yes.
I don't think you can prepare for that.
Preparing for Armageddon.
Walker.
We don't need to let it catch us by surprise.
No.
It as long as it's not Roberts, and I know he did wrong on the Obamacare decision, but he's pretty conservative otherwise. Roberts, Thomas,
Alito,
or Gorsuch. As long as those four, it's not one of those four, you're okay. Of the other five, any one of those who dies or leaves the bench for any other reason, it will be, as Ed described it just then, Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
And You've only seen how nasty the Democrats can. You only thought you knew how nasty the Democrats could get. You wait till Ginsburg is having to be replaced by President Trump or any of the other ones. It will be. It will be unlike anything we've ever seen, and we've seen a lot. As far as political fights in Washington D.C. All right, Abe, this afternoon, what are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to talk a little bit about, will we see the first $1 trillion corporation in 2018? Right now, Apple is at $869 billion valuation, followed by Alphabet, no particular order, but Alphabet, Facebook, Amazon are breathing down their necks.
And but isn't Alphabet Apple's parent company?
Mm-mm. No. Okay. Alphabet is the parent company of Google.
Okay,
but Apple is separate.
I think this iPhone thing is still a fad. I'm not gonna invest in any of that. I'm gonna give it some more time.
And I thought the Alphabet would be owned by everybody. I didn't know that you could buy the Alphabet and make money off of it.
That's right. No, Alphabet is the parent company for Google, which owns YouTube and a bunch of other.
Okay. All right.
Techie things.
Well, Ed and I, we're trying to keep up.
That's right.
Up here. All right. Thank you, Abe.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Abraham Hamilton III right there. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Seriously, I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed to say I've never heard of Alphabet. What is that?
It's Google's parent company. It's the technical name of Google's parent company.
Oh, that's why you never hear of it? You just hear of Google?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you have.
I told you he's more than just the Facebook guru.
There you go.
Bring some good knowledge. He lays on us.
Alphabet, and then under that company is Google, YouTube, a few other things.
All right, Walker, welcome our next guest.
Yes, we have Brad Dacus with the Pacific Justice Institute, another good constitutional law firm. Brad is the president of Pacific Justice Institute. Brad, welcome to Today's Issues.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate you guys and your network.
Brad, what do you think about this here Apple company? You think this iPhone is for real?
I don't know. I think it's just a fad.
It'll fade out.
Hey, Brad, tell us what you do there at the Pacific Justice Institute.
Oh, you bet. I founded it 20 years ago with the help of former U.S. Attorney General Ed Meese, and now still continues to serve as chairman of our advisory board. And we defend religious freedom, parents' rights, the sanctity of human life, the basic fundamentals in the Constitution that so many of us see as under such serious attack today. We do it uniquely through a network of hundreds and hundreds of affiliate attorneys all across the United States of America. We don't just take on the high-profile big bang cases. We work hard to make sure that no one is ever left on the side of the road, ever, when it comes to these issues, these areas that we cover. So we do it all without charge, and we really just work hard to make sure people get the help that they need. And most of our cases are out of California, but that's obviously because California is the what I call the beaches of Normandy, if you will, for the battle for religious freedom. So,
yeah.
Well, Brad, we were talking about Alphabet just a little while ago. SPLC, those are four letters that we've learned to not love. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing about the approach that the Southern Poverty Law Center takes towards any group or individual that does not agree with their progressive ideology.
Yeah, it's a very dangerous organization because they have the money, hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, they have in their bank account. I mean, a lot of it's offshore. So they have the money, they have the media, and with those two combined, they're able to slap labels of hatred onto anyone that they wish. These labels on it are very concerning. You know, initially in the 70s, they just attacked real hate groups, you know, like the KKK and neo-Nazis, and their assault on low-income minorities in the South. Well, now things have really changed. While that's no longer a threat, in order to maintain business, so to speak, and raise money and pay for large, elaborate you know, buildings and things. They've decided to expand, and they've now triggered hate labels on people like Franklin Graham, Dr. Ben Carson, they attacked, and then and organizations and ministries that would never advocate violence, have never advocated violence on anyone at any time, and yet they're attacked simply because, and labeled hate, a hate group, simply because that what they believe is different than the Southern Poverty Law Center, and that's very dangerous.
Brad, your organization, Pacific Justice Institute, has set up a website and put together also a video, which AFA President Tim Wildman is featured in.
Yes.
Tell folks where they what that website is and what's there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the website is exposesplc.com, exposesplc.com. And it is an eight-minute video, and yet it's packed, it's fast-moving, it's very insightful. Very well done. We put a lot of work into it, and we really appreciate the collaborative assistance that we received from groups like the American Family Association. And Tim Wildman, of course, did a great job in it, and along with many of the other participants. And so we were. It really opens the eyes to people of this organization. We need people not only to look at, to watch it, to be really educated about exactly how dangerous. Extremely dangerous this real hate group is, Southern Poverty Law Center, but we need people to be sending that out, posting it on their Facebook, because the survival of religious freedom, the survival of freedom of speech is literally hanging in the balance, because that's how powerful this organization has become. They're referenced and looked on as a respected organization by the liberal left. Some liberal journalists have come out and attacked them. And you know, the FBI has removed them from their credible list of references, but still we have the liberal, extreme liberal media referencing them. And because of that, we have seen insurance companies cancel policies with organizations. Organizations like PayPal canceling the ability to give to organizations. And it just goes on and on. And that's very dangerous, because then we're seeing a narrowing. Even Dennis Prager, you know, he had a great limitation put on what he can go out. I think it was on Google when Google decided that that he was a hate group person, so therefore they're not going to put limitations on it. So we're looking at real serious material limitations for people with a biblical worldview or conservative worldview. To be able to not be snuffed out by this very large, powerful Goliath, if you will, called the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Brad, it's Fred Jackson here. Why doesn't somebody sue them? I mean, if you describe somebody as hateful or promoting hatred, that's slander if it's not true.
Right, and there is one organization, a small organization, that is suing them. We don't think that the suit is very strong, and here's why. Legally speaking, you have to distinguish between statements of opinion and statements of fact. If it's a mere statement of opinion saying so-and-so is hateful, or this is a bad organization, you know, or those are opinion statements, and those don't qualify as libel and slander. Now, if they came out and said these organizations embezzle money, well, that's a factual statement. If it's not true, then we're looking at libel and slander.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they have lots of attorneys. They're playing it right to the edge, and that's why we have to really get out the information to expose them for who they really are.
All right, Brad, thank you for coming on. And the website's Exposed SPLC, is that correct?
ExposeSPLC.com, and also there's a petition attached to it as well. We really want to wake up companies to no longer support this group, and also media to no longer cover them as a credible news source.
All right. Thank you, Brad, for coming on today's issues.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. God bless.
We're going to take a break right here for news, and we'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Our thanks to Fred. Steve Jordahl will be coming in with updates from what's happening in the news after the break.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.